This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. New protests over the Trump administration's efforts to eliminate agencies or reduce government staffing. More than two dozen House Democrats today trying to push their way into the Education Department and were shut out. ABC's Jay O'Brien was there.
Donald Trump's pick to run the Department of Education, Linda McMahon, has yet to be confirmed by the Senate. She has her first confirmation hearing next week. So what they're trying to do now is meet with the person who is temporarily in charge, exercise what they say is their congressionally allowed oversight over the Department of Education and over these threats of the president to shut it down.
The FBI announcing a new initiative to target South American theft groups like the ones who have been burglarizing homes of pro athletes and other wealthy owners. In some cases, the FBI said the stolen goods are sent to Chile or China. And in New Orleans, security prep's underway and the music is flowing. Fans are ready to watch the Kansas City Chiefs take on the Philadelphia Eagles. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The UW La Crosse Student Union was the site of a mayoral forum held ahead of the primary on February 18th. All four candidates on the ballot appeared, taking on issues such as housing, homelessness, the potential addition of a city administrator position, and city budgeting. One issue that saw a split was on whether the city's police force should help immigration officials. Chris Kalo, Vicky Markison, and Shondell Washington Spivey said they didn't think city resources should be used for federal government work. Support is growing for Governor Evers' proposal of an Office of Violence Prevention. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Safety experts and advocates say they're hopeful it will save lives. Federal investments have historically been helpful in efforts to address the causes of violence before it happens. But with a recent Trump administration-ordered spending freeze and rescinding federal grants, these efforts may be in jeopardy. Governor Tony Evers announced he is directing $10 million to the Office of Violence Prevention. The funds will come from the American Rescue Plan Act.
It's unclear whether a freeze on federal funding would affect the creation of the office. Two of the three candidates for state superintendent appeared at a forum on Thursday. Challengers Jeff Wright and Brittany Kinzer discussed their candidacy, while current superintendent Jill Underley missed the event due to a UW System Board of Regents meeting and to hold a press conference on the inability for Wisconsin Head Start programs to access federal funding. Wright and Kinzer split on issues such as Act 10, which Wright is in favor of repealing, and school vouchers, which Kinzer is in support of. Several inches of snow is possible with a winter storm system crossing western Wisconsin tonight through tomorrow night. The greatest impacts will be north of I-90, while La Crosse County is in line for at least a couple inches of snow. Areas south of I-90 will see less snow and more mixed precipitation. After the snow, temperatures will drop off with highs in the teens to mid-20s for the next several days. We'll have more details coming up in our Civic Media forecast.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
The Bucks in Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks play the Atlanta Hawks tonight at the State Farm Arena. Some new faces on the team, including Kyle Kuzma and center Jericho Sims, after those trades made before the deadline. Gone after 12 years with the Bucks is Chris Middleton, center Brooke Lopez.
I'm thankful that I got to know him as the man that he is. I got to know his whole family, you know, his wife and kids. I always love them. They'll always be special to me. You know, I'm obviously going to miss him. It's going to be a huge adjustment, you know, and I wish him nothing but the best.
NFL Super Bowl 59 coming up this Sunday in New Orleans. Even though he's played in five Super Bowls in the last 6 years, Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes says he still gets a little nervous before the kickoff.
You're going to have nerves before the game, just like any big game. I think if you don't have nerves, you don't love the game enough. I have a better feel for how the week goes, and so I know when the media is, I know when practice is. I have a good plan for the week, and I think that's helped me on being more settled throughout the week.
That's the Chiefs' Patrick Mahomes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Snow showers for late tonight and continuing through tomorrow afternoon, an inch or two of accumulation. A low tonight in the low 20s. High tomorrow, upper 20s to around 30. Then sunshine into Sunday, highs into the low 20s. Currently it's 26.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Max Inc. has a super show this weekend. Join us as we welcome The Flavor That Kills, Rob Dees and the Steepwater Band. Plus, we'll talk weather with Rippyology. Saturday and Sunday evening at 6, it's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
This is the Dom Salvia Show, but this is not Dom Salvia. My name is Jim Santel. I am supremely honored, personally delighted to be sitting in Dom's chair for this hour and next hour as well here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. Standing in for Dom today while he takes some time away from the desk here at Radio Park. Nonetheless, continuing in Dom's tradition, not only of talking about the relevant and breaking issues, the news of the day, but also joined here in the studio by my wonderfully proficient and productive and professional producer. Her name is Jess, and together we're going to be with you for this hour and next, along with Jess throughout this hour and next, taking your phone calls as well, your inquiries, your questions, your comments, your observations about the many things on our ambitious agenda this afternoon. That number, as always, is 855-752-4842. I'll do that one more time. That's 855-752-4842. Jess also reminds me consistently that you can also be in touch with us by sending me and sending to Jess your comments, your questions, your inquiries on the Dropbox. Getting in touch with us through Civic Media, sending in your comments. We'll take those as well and get you a part of this conversation this afternoon. Delighted to be having you join us today for this conversation about those relevant events in our nation's history, our state's history as well. We're making history quite literally this past week as well, even as late as today. Let's talk about the kinds of things that are on our agenda, our syllabus for discussion here on the Dom Salvia Show for this afternoon. Four major things, and perhaps we can get to even more down the road, depending upon your interest and your focus. But all of these things breaking in recent days and getting additional insight as well for the coming days as well. This is all about the operation of the federal government in particular. We have seen a lot in the past hours and days from a group called the USAID, the United States Agency for International Development. We're going to talk this afternoon about exactly what that agency is all about. We'll do a little bit of government insight, some instruction in terms of civics, how it came about to be, and why it is so important, even as the present administration pursues these efforts, both direct and indirect, to bring it to a closure. Breaking news just this afternoon that the USAID is being shuttered, that a lot of the symbols of it, the signs of USAID around the nation, including in our nation's capital, are now going dark. We'll talk about what that means. We'll talk about the impact of the USAID on our domestic situation, most importantly, upon our status on the face of this planet, too. Much related to that, of course, the works by this present administration to affect other agencies. We know that in addition to USAID, This administration, the Trump White House, has also focused on, yes, that's right, the United States Department of Education. Donald Trump making it a part of his campaign to bring that agency, that part of the executive branch, to an end. And further efforts recently, not only to pursue that end, but also to impact it while it continues to live on, at least for these first 18 days, focusing upon its efforts, that is the administration's efforts, to curb the DEI, the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Initiatives have been longstanding under the Biden administration. Yes, even under the first Trump administration, they existed inside the Department of Education. We're going to talk about the ways in which this administration is affecting your Department of Education even today. Department of Education, of course, created many years ago by one of my favorite presidents, as you know, Jimmy Carter. And we'll talk about what that initial commission was for the Department of Education, why it is still important, and why these attacks on the Department of Education that we're hearing about even as late as right now in the past several hours, why all of those are so important to understanding what's going on in government. Needless to say, an awful lot of criticism coming from me and others about this attempt. I would say it's not to reshape government, Jess. I think it's to bring government to its end. And
we'll
talk more about that.
It's a slash and burn approach, not really a careful curating.
I think that's exactly the way you describe it. An awful lot of people saying it's moderating, it's somehow adjusting, it's correcting those people who would say that the past administrations have not been good.
Sure, it's correcting in the way that someone with potentially a sprained arm might go in for some medical care and then have it amputated.
That's exactly the kind of analogy that not only applies here, but also makes it very clear. Beyond that, we've got more of that kind of analogy applied to other things that this administration is doing again, even today and in the days preceding our time together today. There's this proposal by the White House to buy out early, literally thousands of federal employees, an incentive program. If you leave now, the president has said, get out. Get out. We'll pay you. We'll pay you until September. Lots of people have already signed up on that, anticipating that the president's proposal there is legitimate, that he can do that. We'll talk about the fact that actually he can't. That program, that proposal, once again, Jess, well, unconstitutional, illegal, the kinds of things that only the Congress can change.
Small matters.
But people relying upon those small matters. Thankfully, again, one of the guardrails that we've talked about from time to time is this notion that we've got federal judges out there who look at these things when there are attacks made on them, attacks with a small A in the federal courts. That's our system. Attacks that bring the legitimacy of these efforts into the courts and challenge them under the law and say, you know what, you can't do this. Indeed, the latest is that a judge in Massachusetts has barred the Trump administration from going ahead with this program, at least delaying the imposition of a deadline until sometime on Monday. We'll see what happens between now and then. But we've got a federal judge agreeing with an awful lot of people out there who say that the president just doesn't have the capacity to do this. And indeed, as maybe some of those applicants are finding out, if you go down this road, you agree to resign, retire, and you're anticipating payment, not only is that not supported by the present state of the law, but you may find yourself then without the very income that is promised to you.
That
would also be a problem, Jess, I would think, for all those very good civil servants who are there
Indeed. Working
for us day to day. That happening in America right now. And finally, another sign of our times, Jess, which is that while all this is going on, while we are working here, Jess and I and all of you as well, on providing accurate and complete information about all of these kinds of things, the government, at least the administration, trying hard not to go down that road. And we've got reporting about thousands of United States government web pages going down, getting dark, since a week ago. And we'll talk about exactly what those are. I've got a huge inventory of them. Everything from healthcare resources, Department of Inventory issues, Food and Drug Administration, Department of Justice issues, Head Start, the Census Bureau, the Office of Justice Programs, all kinds of things across the board, suddenly either limited or going completely absent, so that people who had previously had access to them, getting needed information for the operation of their programs, no longer able to do that, all of that happening by this administration's hand as we speak, as we gather together here on the Dom Salvia Show to talk about this and more. And finally, at Jess's great encouragement and in Dom's traditional practice here on the afternoon broadcast, we're going to spend some time at the end of our second hour. Jess and I, Jess in particular, going to ask all of you to give us some sense. Tell us something good.
Please. For the love of God, tell us something good. This week has been kicking my butt, Jim. And so we need to take that time at the end of the day to just, come on, everyone, tell us something good.
Tell us something good. So that is your assignment from Jess and me, not only to engage in the conversation with us. You can call us at any time, but save up those good things so that Jess can leave today after a very vigorous day of work here at Civic Media. She can leave with something good. I can leave with something good. Mm-hmm. And you can all leave. I've got one in store that's
wonderful.
It is good news. It is a variation, candidly, just to anticipate this, Jess, so you're not completely overwhelmed and anticipating some great good news from me. It is the reaction of some of the federal employees inside these agencies. A little bit lighthearted.
And we'll talk about a little tease. I look forward to hearing the rest of it.
Exactly. And we look forward to hearing Jess's something good and yours as well. Again, we're here at the Civic Media Studios, 855-752-4842. Callers will get to you, those who are already involved in our communication in regular written word. We're going to get to you as well. Appreciate all of your involvement in our program today. Let's begin by talking about the United States Agency for International Development. Bandied about, Jess, USAID, and yet not a lot of coverage out there in the national media about what that does and what it means. USAID, easy to say it's a bad thing to have it go away, but let's talk about why it's a bad thing for that to happen. It is an independent agency. And that's especially significant. We've talked a lot on this program and others about this notion that there is indeed this concept within the Trump administrations. The concept's been out there actually since the Reagan administration, called the unitary executive theory. And that theory is that everything that is not judicial, it's not the courts, not the Congress on Capitol Hill, everything else, including independent agencies created by the legislature, should be within the control, the oversight, the direction of a president who then has unitary control and direction of those independent agencies.
So that would be then to say that there should not be any independent agencies.
Precisely.
All federal agencies should be partisan and in the purview of the executive branch.
Got it just right. That's exactly what this concept is. And again, there are many agencies that are out there. We think about the Federal Reserve, for example. Can you imagine the Federal Reserve coming under the direct direction of a president who, for example, doesn't like how economics in the country are going and directs then that the chair of the council there adopt and approve economic policies, change interest rates in a way that could affect the economy. USAID is one of those independent agencies. And it has been independent and doing some amazing things in terms of our government and its involvement with nations overseas. I'm going to talk about my own association with USAID in the past when I was in Iraq. I'm going to tell you more about why USAID is so important and why, as it goes dark in the moments and days just ahead, our nation and our world is not better, is worse off for that. As the Dom Salvia Show continues here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Donald Trump is president again, and Democrats need to take a new approach to combat this presidency. Part of that is recognizing the realignment of how we arrived here. In last year's election, one thing Trump did successfully was turn out people who might not otherwise vote. In Wisconsin, he increased his vote share in all 72 counties, en route to the largest popular vote total in state history. How did he do this?
Well, as I see it, there are two factions of Republicans. One is the more traditional country club Republicans. The other is the newer group, what I'm calling the pro-wrestling Republicans. In my latest column, I wrote about how Donald Trump transformed the party by prioritizing the pro-wrestling Republicans, and why recognizing this new reality is critical to Democrats' ability to grab a steel chair of their own and fight back. Subscribe and read it now at the Recombobulation Area.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores. Apples and bananas, 10 to 53% more. And cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is the Dom Salvia Show. My name is Jim Santelli. Oh, also happen to be the host of another program, another broadcast here on the stations of Civic Media. It's called Amicus, a law review. We get together every weekend. It is on the broadcast stations of this fine radio station every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, and then also on Sunday afternoon repeated. Be a part of that discussion as well. We'll talk more about some program notes for this weekend as well as we get into the issues today, including the USAID, the United States Agency for International Development. Again, independent agency. What is it responsible for? What does it do inside our government? It is an independent agency, but it's primarily responsible for administering civilian, important notion there, foreign aid and developmental assistance. This is not a branch of the Department of Justice. Recently, the Secretary of State, we'll hear from him in just a few minutes. Secretary of State said, I'm taking control of USAID that's now inside the State Department. That has not been the tradition of the USAID, which has been independent. It's got a budget of over $50 billion with a B, dollars. One of the largest official aid agencies in the world. It accounts for more than half of all U.S. foreign assistance. That's the highest in the world in absolute dollar amounts. Missions in over 100 countries across the globe. Africa, Asia, Latin America, Middle East, Eastern Europe. And beyond that, its reach is community-based. I can talk about this in part because I worked somewhat directly with USAID in those 2 years during the Iraq War when I was there in 2006 to 2008 and can testify, can tell you about the things that they do specifically in countries that are in crisis or not in crisis, that are developing or in some way need our assistance. Congress passed the Foreign Assistance Act on September 4th of 1961. That's how far back this goes. It reorganized some U.S. foreign assistance programs. And at the time, it mandated the creation of a specific agency to administer all these monies that are out there. That's how far back this goes, 1961. The goal at that time to this day, part of its commission, to counter those efforts, those initiatives by those countries that are not in favor of advancing democracy and republics of the sort that we think we know are good for people across the globe, to respond to those efforts, and in particular Cold War efforts, certainly the Soviet Union at the time, to advance our power throughout the world, not as an oppressive power, but to extend the good things that are about the American existence and the American fabric. USAID was subsequently established by an executive order of President John F. Kennedy, who sought to unite several existing foreign assistance programs by virtue of the legislation that permitted him to do just that. And to this day, that history is important because it's under the Foreign Assistance Act that the USAID gets its life. Yes, it's money, and that operates, that drives an awful lot of what USAID does. But that's the basis upon which USAID lives and breathes in our nation, yes, organizationally, but more importantly, in all these countries around the globe. And that's the why these efforts by the White House, absent congressional approval, absent some legislation that rescinds that decades-old legislation, is simply illegal. It is wrong. It is inconsistent with our rule of law. Congress always supplements the directions given in that initial legislation with annual funding appropriations and with acts and other kinds of legislation. It's an official component of our U.S. foreign policy. And yes, is it related to the State Department? Sure it is. When I was in Iraq, again, seeing the good work that USAID does, was that principally an embassy-based venue there? Sure it was. And USAID, although independent of the State Department, sat around the table with me in the Justice Department, sat around the table with the Defense Department, sat around the table with all of us, coordinating together our efforts there in Iraq, in Baghdad, other cities around the provincial capitals of Iraq, all together by virtue of this commission given it by the congressional legislature, by our Congress, to do this kind of work. So what does it do? What are its purposes? What are its decentralized approach to handling all of this?
Before we even jump into that, I just want to clarify something because I'm, you know, taking my own notes and trying to understand this. I came into this show not knowing so much about USAID. Are you saying that in 1961, Congress established the Foreign Assistance Act and then JFK established the actual USAID by executive order? Is that correct?
That's correct, right. And plainly the legislation, Jess, your question is terrific, because the legislation plainly contemplates the creation of this agency. But Congress said, yes, go ahead and do this. JFK says, yes, let's do this.
JFK gives it the name, the structure, the mission, but Congress has appropriated funding and given a legislative pathway to forming this department.
That's precisely it.
Okay.
And continues to do so, just to your good point. Again, every year funds it, keeps it alive, perhaps until just these recent days. And again, that's the point. And your questions underscore that point, which is Congress is the one that puts this in place. And absent congressional approval, can Congress rescind money? Sure it can. It can make decisions on budgetary allocations and say, we're no longer going to do this, can pull it all back. But the president does not have the authority to do that. Again, it's an independent agency. President Trump trying to do this, the Secretary of State taking USAID under his wing, so to speak. All of that illegal. All of that also undermining the purposes of USAID. Let's talk about some of those. Disaster relief. How many countries across the planet routinely need assistance of various kinds in the wake of huge disasters, wars, including that natural disasters that happened? There's a Bureau for Humanitarian Assistance inside the USAID that focuses on those kinds of disaster responses through the processes, the programs, and the offices of the USAID. Poverty relief, not disaster relief, but the extent that poverty is also within the commission, and it is addressing those nations that need assistance to bring its populations outside of the horrors and the tragedies of poverty. That, too, a part of what USAID. There are three more important missions of USAID that we're going to talk about right after this particular break, as we continue to discuss what USAID means for our nation and our world and means for all of us here in Wisconsin and beyond, as we think about what government should and should not be doing here on the Dom Salvia Show.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The UW La Crosse Student Union was the site of a mayoral forum held ahead of the primary on February 18th. All four candidates on the ballot appeared, taking on issues such as housing, homelessness, the potential addition of a city administrator position, and city budgeting. All four candidates spoke in favor of the Pathways Home program. One of the candidates, Ellie McLoon, said she was already talking to state elected officials about bringing a detox and mental health facility to western Wisconsin. Agricultural infrastructure is getting a boost in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
$100 million to help 55 projects in rural Wisconsin communities. Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Transportation made that news recently. A statement says the money will be used to improve rural infrastructure across 36 Wisconsin counties. It'll support 55 projects focused on upgrading roads and culverts critical for transporting agricultural and forestry products.
A full list of projects is available on the Wisconsin Department of Transportation website. It's taken 8 years, but the State Department of Motor Vehicles has cycled through its 7-character license plates that start with the letter A. Now, standard Wisconsin license plates will start with the letter B. The DMV issues about 600,000 new plates each year, and about 4.7 million plates were issued with the first character being the letter A. The change comes after standard plates in Wisconsin moved from 6 characters in 2017. The 6-character plates were used from 1986 to 2017. Several inches of snow is possible with a winter storm system crossing western Wisconsin tonight through tomorrow night. The greatest impacts will be north of I-90, while La Crosse County is in line for at least a couple inches of snow. Areas south of I-90 will see less snow and more mixed precipitation. After the snow, temperatures will drop off with highs in the teens to mid-20s for the next several days. We'll have more details coming up in our Civic Media forecast.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Conrad Krieger. Adam Scott is on a roll. The Severance star is returning to the film genre that gave him a start. Scott has signed on to the project to play a horror novelist who visits an Irish inn to disperse his parents' ashes, only to find out it's haunted. Hockham will be directed by Irish director Damien McCarthy, who directed last year's critically acclaimed Oddity. Scott got his start in the genre with a 1996 Hellraiser Bloodline. This film is still in pre-production. Adrian Brody says the makeup artist of The Brutalist tried to remove his prosthetic nose. The only problem is, it was not prosthetic. Apparently, Brody's real nose looked fake to the makeup artist. The Oscar-nominated actor told Jimmy Fallon he asked her if she was trying to remove that, and she said yes, and he said it doesn't come off. Brody says he and the makeup artist had a laugh after she said, "This is going in my diary." And Brody said that this is going in his talk show repertoire. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Snow showers for late tonight and continuing through tomorrow afternoon, an inch or two of accumulation, a low tonight in the low 20s, high tomorrow upper 20s to around 30, then sunshine into Sunday, highs into the low 20s. Currently it's 26.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me this week as we talk to my friend and national figure Adam Kinzinger in what will be certain to be an incredible conversation.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the Dom Salvia Show, but I'm not Dom Salvia. My name is Jim Santel, and I am sitting in for Dom this hour and next hour as well. I'm here in Radio Park. My terrific producer name is Jess, and together we're going to be taking your phone calls, your comments and questions as well as we talk about these major things happening as we gather in conversation this afternoon, speaking specifically right now about this United States Agency for International Development, talking about its genesis and talking about the good things that it does. Perfectly, Jess? Nope. Certainly not perfectly. There's no such thing as a perfect agency.
Certainly not.
I certainly saw that in Iraq as well. But we're doing those kinds of things. What?
Right.
In the middle of a war.
Feet on the ground.
Feet on the ground, right?
You were there participating in the efforts of USAID. Can you tell me, what were you doing with the agency?
Absolutely. So we were there from the Department of Justice at the time, working principally with judges and police and law enforcement, prisons, all those kinds of things, the rule of law components. But it was the USAID, again, in the midst of all of that, that assisted us. We assisted them, I like to think, as well, in reaching out to those communities inside Iraq, provinces around the nation that needed assistance. Again, disaster relief happens in the middle of a war, which, of course, is going on at the time. Poverty relief, also caused in major ways, not only by the war, but by pre-existing things under Saddam. Other things that I remember well that USAID provided, and that's also a part of its commission, technical cooperation, I want to call global issues. We know, Jess, you and I, and our listeners as well, that we've got these Centers for Disease Control, the Environmental Protection Agency here. USAID can tap into that and bring the resources, the good things, the expertise from those agencies overseas and help leaders.
It's a bit of a connector amongst the other agencies that we have that do excellent, excellent work to help promote the general welfare in the United States, to tap into them in countries and places that are really struggling and say, here's a direct line.
Here's a direct line. Here are the resources that you can make access to through us, again, through the largesse of the Congress. And yes, tax dollars, you pay for this, you support it appropriately. Environmental issues as well, Jess, global interests on environment, and they're global as well, conserving and protecting threatened lands and waters. That was a part of Iraq, plainly. But again, all those nations on the face of the planet identified in our first segments, forests, wildlife. We're not the only nation on the face of the planet that has those kinds of great resources. USAID assists projects in reducing greenhouse gas emissions, building resilience to the risks that are posed to these various global climate situations around the world. And so all of those things are joined by what's called socioeconomic development. That is also engaging the communities against providing monies to low-income nations so they can achieve ultimately some self-sustaining independence. That, too, a part of Iraq, but again, other nations to this day around the country. And that, all of that through the technical assistance that you and I just talked about, Jess, financial assistance. Yes, sometimes there are times when direct dollars into an agency of another company, of another country, rather, through the companies they've established, and in that connection, public-private partnerships between USAID and those companies in those foreign countries, that can also help move things along. USAID does a lot of good work. And so why is this relevant? Why are we talking about this on our Friday show? Well, we know that nearly the entire global workforce of this main American agency, USAID, is going to be put on leave at the end of today, at least absent some intervening effort. And that's according to an official memo that was posted early in the week. The notice said that only a small subset of designated personnel responsible for mission-critical functions, core leadership, and specially designated programs would be exempt. Employees who are designated as direct hires are put on paid leave. Those posted abroad would be expected to return, return to the United States within 30 days, the notice is saying, adding the agency would arrange and pay for your return travel. Come back home. We're shutting off all those initiatives. Contractors will be laid off. The notice, again, posted on the agency's website, and the internal email to the members of the employees and members of USAID throughout the world, talks about the efforts again to bring this to its conclusion. Jess, I think we've got a couple of cuts from the present Secretary of State who talked about the fact that there might be some exemptions even in this time of emergency. Let's hear from Marco Rubio, our Secretary of State.
Sure.
I issued a blanket waiver that said if this is life-saving programs, okay, if it's providing food or medicine or anything that is saving lives and is immediate and urgent, you're not included in the freeze. I don't know how much more clear we can be than that.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's a bridge, perhaps, for those truly critical places where poverty and starvation, other things, pose risks. And yet, our Secretary of State is not rescinding these other directives for USAID folks to come home.
Correct.
That's number one. And he also said something else about the circumstances under which you can apply for a waiver. Do we have that cut as well?
We have a second cut. Let's take a listen.
I would say if some organization is receiving funds from the United States and does not know how to apply a waiver, then I have real questions about the competence of that organization. Or I wonder whether they're deliberately sabotaging it for purposes of making a political point.
That's our Secretary of State criticizing and our partners overseas with whom we work through USAID and, yes, through the State Department and other agencies, of course. That's our Secretary of State. Now, as a part of this, as I more than hinted already, Jess, we know there are an awful lot of people look at this and say that you can't do this, Mr. President, that it appears under the Constitution and the legislation here that this kind of thing, trying to shut it down, even though, again, the directives are out there and presumably it's happening, it may in fact be illegal. And we've got some folks on Capitol Hill who've talked about various aspects of this responding to these attempts to close USAID. Let's hear maybe first from Jason Crow, who's a Democrat from Colorado. We have that cut, Jess?
We do.
We know that the investment we make in foreign aid is not charity. Right? We know that extremism and danger breeds off of starvation and hopelessness and fear.
That's Jason Crow of Colorado. We've got Madeline Dean. She's a Democrat from Pennsylvania who also talked about some of the chaos that this may be causing. Do we have that cut from Representative Dean, Jess?
Do not fatigue. These are not normal times. What is going on is corrupt. It is cruel. It is chaotic. It is lawless. It is unconstitutional. And that's the point.
That's the point. That's Madeline Dean from Pennsylvania articulating, and the reason why this is going on, it's not in our best interest nationally. It's not in our best interest internationally for this to happen. And then we have, of course, those equally articulate representatives who are questioning whether or not this is legal at all. We've got Brian Schatz, who's a Democrat from Hawaii. He is a senator from that fine state. Just let's hear from Brian Schatz.
This freeze is just flatly illegal. They stormed into a federal office and purged employees. This is about literally, do we uphold the rule of law in the United States?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That's the question. It's about rule of law, not only in the operation and the way that the president and the Secretary of State and others are attempting to bring this down. But we also know that this is also causing issues right there in Washington, D.C. Yes, USAID has its main headquarters right there at the Reagan Building, not too far from Pennsylvania Avenue. Interesting incident happened with respect to this infrastructure issue. Shut down at the headquarters coming days after which a young man, actually several young men, Jess, apparently ran a task force. They showed up at USAID headquarters there in Washington, D.C., to physically begin to shut things down. And they made some wholesale changes in the technology infrastructure in the building, tried to gain access to classified material in a secure area, stunningly. That led apparently to a confrontation between these young men and two top security directors at the USAID. And those directors were then forced to go on leave. Political appointee who had begun work as a chief resigned in the wake of that incident as well. The sweeping effort has affected the State Department, too. Monday, the department issued a stop work order to companies employing about 60 contractors in Washington who work also on democracy and human rights and those issues that are also paralleling the work of USAID, and they focus on authoritarian states. That's happening at the State Department. And we also have heard, of course, from Marco Rubio, who said that this is not about getting rid of foreign aid, but he said his goal was to reform the agency, which he said has functioned largely independently for decades. And, Mr. Secretary, that's exactly
it. Is that a bad thing? The way that he seems to be framing that is that this is a bad thing, that USAID has been operating independently.
And that was the initial commission. And that's the reason why, again, under Republican administrations, under Democrat administrations, that operation status, that structure has worked. Mm-hmm. Is ensured that we do not have the politicization of an agency like this, that we make decisions inside the USAID, allocations of staff and resources, all those mission things we just talked about, based not upon what a political agenda would be, but what the needs are. That's why we've got people in all these various countries. There are feet on the ground, as you just said, Jess, and they make those determinations. Why? Because, once again, they're the experts. They know what they're talking about. They're there. They can talk to the local authorities and the local law enforcement. They can talk to the local governors, the legislators. They can talk to the community people about what is needed. And that system, that independence, has worked since 1961, 1962. Now, according to our Secretary of State, he said, but now we have rank insubordination. He added that USAID employees have been completely uncooperative. Not clear what that means. So we had no choice, he said, but to take dramatic steps to bring this thing under control. That's what our Secretary of State have said.
Uncooperative in their shuttering of the agency. You know, I want to come back, if we can, for a moment to what Secretary of State Marco Rubio said about instituting a waiver.
Exactly. Right.
Because as far as I understand it, there is no one to process those waivers because they have shuttered the offices, because they have instructed employees to not come into work. There is no one there to process the waivers.
And to come back to America, that's what the directive is. Get on planes now, come back to America. A huge amount of effort being made right now to bring those people back to the United States. And Jess, as you just said, in the wake of that, the offices overseas, which are our offices, we are there at the invitation of those foreign nations, the governments there. We are guests, just as I was when I was in Iraq for 2 years. I was a guest of the Iraqi government. We, too, we are guests there. Those offices now shuttered. Those offices where we had interaction with local people and community leaders in trying to figure out how best to use resources, they're quiet. They will be dark now. And yes, some limited waivers if there is a crisis. Of course, Mr. Secretary, there are crises in poverty, in food, in housing, all those kinds of things. This is really an effort to make good on President Trump's campaign promise to bring USAID to its knees. And it's happening right now. That is the status of the USAID as we get together this afternoon to talk about all of that. And we note in particular, we've got callers and others who have...
We've got quite a few people who have opinions and thoughts on the matter.
Exactly. And we're going to get to that, including Terry from Wausau says, USAID indirectly helps other agencies with security around the world with creating a favorable relationship in giving areas abroad. Absolutely, Terry. That also has that also very, very important aspect of what they do. Lots of people calling in. And we're going to talk more right after this break with our callers and others about the impact of the attempt here, apparently successful, to bring USAID to a close right here on the Dom Salvia Show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Community is more than where you live. It's the people in it who show up each day and help it thrive. During Black History Month and year-round, AARP recognizes the everyday excellence of those who give back to their Wisconsin communities. They believe when efforts drive change for the greater good, everyone thrives together. Connect and learn what AARP is doing locally and how they can make the communities better for all ages. Visit aarp.org/WI. Paid for by AARP.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A New Hampshire Senate bill just killed in committee would have moved the state's four presidential electoral votes to a winner-by-district system from a winner-take-all. Nebraska, the only state besides Maine which apportions its electoral votes by district, is trying to end it. The National Conference of State Legislatures defines a winner-take-all system as one where the winning candidate's party, no matter the margin of victory, gets all of the electoral votes. Currently in Nebraska, which has 5 electoral votes, and Maine, which has 4, 1 electoral vote is awarded for each congressional district a candidate wins, and the candidate who wins the popular vote statewide gets the rest. New Hampshire is currently a winner-take-all state with 2 congressional districts. SB 11 would have adopted the Nebraska and Maine model, likely in anticipation of gerrymandering a guaranteed GOP congressional district. But February 5th, the Senate Election and Municipal Affairs Committee recommended that it be killed in an upcoming full Senate vote. The AP reports that Nebraska's GOP is irritated that candidates Obama, Biden, and Harris won an electoral vote from Greater Omaha's Congressional District 2. Another legislative attempt to end it appears doomed to fail by filibuster, so state Republicans are preparing a ballot measure instead, hoping the voters will change what the legislature could not. We have links to the local reporting and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is the Dom Salvia Show. My name is Jim Santel. We're talking all about the USAID this afternoon on Dom's show. Joined in the studio by Jess and also joined on lines by many callers. Here, we're going to get to you right now. Let's start with you, Andrew, calling in from Detroit. Appreciate your participation in our broadcast. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. My thought is, they bring up the idea of 50,000 condoms, and I'm thinking if those 50,000 unborn children weren't brought into a world where they will be starving, where they will have no health care, where no one can take care of them, the cost of a condom is far cheaper than the stupidity of hoping that those children can be raised. We've got to understand that there will be a vacuum. If there are people who need help and the United States is not there to provide it, someone else will. And it could be Russia, China, North Korea. It needs to be the United States trying to help these people. And as far as disease, if there is disease created anywhere over there, wherever over there is, it will get here if not prevented. And especially under a regime like this right now. I've got to say, too, as far as the Democrats who have voted to approve any of these cabinet members, I am going after them in the future as far as getting them reelected. Even my own Alyssa Slotkin.
And that plainly, Andrew, that's the kind of thing we do in representative democracy, right? If we're not satisfied with the work of our representatives. I'm going to go back and unpack your previous comment about about USAID. And again, this notion that if we're not there, others are there. We've got another caller. I'm going to take him fairly soon, who also texted in about that very issue, that if we're not there, others who are not our friends on the face of this planet will be there. And the governments that will be established then in those places where we're no longer participating in the communities to provide that kind of support. That's also what we lose when USAID is no longer there. Andrew, appreciate very much your comment, your question as well. Mark, I'm going to go to you next. You had previously noted something as well that brings in some literature here. You previously indicated that you were reminded, of course, that Dickens and the ignorance and want that he talked about, and to avoid both of them, from the brow of ignorance is written doom, that kind of thing. Mark, glad to have you with me this afternoon.
Yeah, it just occurred to me that, and echoing Andrew's statement there, is that this $50 billion in the whole scheme of our national budget thing is a small investment to make to produce what USAID has produced. I mean, back when I had went to school in accounting, and that might sound odd to bring that up, but actually, you know, there's actually a thing called goodwill. And spending a lot of this USAID money produces goodwill in these places, far-flung places across the planet. If we are feeding people, if we are, you know, clothing people, if we are providing them with knowledge so they can, you know, perform, get better governments there, and get things going in those countries, it cannot help, but it cannot hurt us. It can only help us. And us pulling out is that the Chinese are perfectly willing to spend gobs of money on that kind of thing to produce goodwill around the world. They've been doing it in Africa to a great extent, in countries in Africa and other places in Central America and probably in South America. You spend this kind of money and you produce goodwill among these people. And this common citizen sometimes drop little kernels of information, intelligence on Absolutely. Our adversaries in those places.
Right, right. Again, my own experience when I was in Iraq was just that plainly, you're there for very open and transparent reasons, but you do also get information on a regular basis. We'd send cables back to the State Department and provide them information. Nothing wrong about that. What's going on in this foreign nation that's helpful, again, to understand not only this foreign nation, but how we should best be responding to those kinds of issues. So, Mark, all those kinds of things you just identified, important to have a presence there. I'd also like to comment on some of the texts coming in, also very, very thoughtful about the money aspect of this. We've got some focus on, you know, finding where the money is going. And Tim from Wales commenting that again, some good work going on out there. What about when bad things happen? What happens when our taxes are wasted on things? If USAID was signed by the presidential order, can't a president cancel it, he asks? Wouldn't the State Department do some of the same things? And the answer, of course, is should there be oversight? You bet there should be. And that's the answer, Tim, of course, to your good question. If indeed there is waste, fraud, and abuse inside the USAID, like any other independent agencies, there are inspectors general who identified that when
I
was in Iraq.
Well, there were inspectors general,
right? The next story as we get to, right? A part of an overall scheme is this not, right, to address that. But once again, the notion that USAID is not just out there spending your money liberally without any oversight or control. It is also overseen by an administrator, responsible once again to the Congress, responsible to you, to all of us, to prepare and put together budgets that are consistent with that mission and consistent with good fiscal management. All of that a part of the USAID. We're going to get to more callers and more questions in our second hour. We're also going to talk more about another agency called the United States Department of Education. We're going to talk about what's going on there. Not exactly the same, but similar in terms of its overall impact. Here on the Dom Salvia Show, stay with us for more of that important conversation.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Maggie Dawn.
Do you know that Donald Trump's draconian policies are hurting children right here in Wisconsin? Dane County's Head Start program experiences outages. We discuss at 3 o'clock.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A federal judge has temporarily blocked the Trump administration from putting 2,200 USAID employees in overseas posts on paid leave, agreeing with two federal employee associations it would cause irreparable harm. The White House had plans to lay off all but 300 of the 14,000 workers. After meeting with Japan's prime minister today at the White House, President Trump announced a deal.
President Trump announced a new proposal for investment in U.S. steel. The Biden administration had blocked a deal where Japanese company Nippon Steel would have purchased U.S. steel, citing national security concerns. The president today indicated Nippon Steel is taking another look at a deal.
They'll be looking at an investment rather than a purchase.
President Trump met this week with the head of U.S. Steel and said he would meet next week with the head of Nippon Steel. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Three hostages expected to be released tomorrow by Hamas, part of the Gaza ceasefire deal. Israel expected to release another 180 Palestinians. This is ABC News.